What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Lots of show for you. As you know, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to deliver a seamless mortgage experience. All right, let's get down. Hope you had a good weekend. Telephone number is toll free. Let me get you started right away with that. 1-800-636-8686. As you know, I'm not going to belabor the point, but it is smack-off season. Now is the time to call. 1-800-636-8686. You know the drill. The EP, the executive producer, Adam Hawk, is standing by. He's going to screen your phone call out. You don't have to be incredible, right? You just have to have a take. Have a strong take. Know what you want to talk about. When you get on the air, then you have a good chance at getting that golden ticket. But understand, he is the gatekeeper. You need to get through him to get to me, to get on the air, to make this thing work. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me on Twitter, I would encourage that. Follow me at Jim Rome. Or you can just email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Busy program for you today. I'm going to recap UFC 249. It was so good to have live sporting action back once again. If you have thoughts on that, you want to hit me up. Kevin Ioli is going to join me at 9:40 Pacific time. Coming up in hour number two, we've got back-to-back interviews. Malachi Flynn is an NBA draft prospect, point guard out of San Diego State. He joins me at 20 past the second hour. Also, Howard Beck, a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, joins me in hour number two. Third hour is wide open for you. Step it up now. Come on, get in here. I've done my job. The XR4TI has done its job. Now you need to do yours. You do have some equity in this. You have a responsibility here, all right? What are you going to do to make it better? Call me, tweet at me, email me, go to my Instagram page, go to my Facebook page. I've got all the usual platforms. The ATP is coming up later on. All right, so since Kevin Ioli is coming up later this hour, let me start off with some thoughts on UFC 249. UFC 249 was held on Saturday night, and dang, that was a scene. That was something to see. First off, it was so good to have live sports back, and that was a tremendous card. That was a great card, a great event. Honestly, not having fans there did not bother me nearly as much as I thought that it would. In fact, I acclimated pretty quickly. Most of the fights were so compelling and so good, and the production was so good, that while I would never say that I didn't miss the fans, I have to say it was still great even without the fans. Fact is, did you really even know what it sounds like? What it sounds like when a world-class mixed martial artist breaks another one's face? Now you do. We would have never known what that actually sounded like. The sounds of the evening were amazing, and we would have never known what it was like to hear one world-class athlete punch another one in the face with 4-ounce gloves unless we had the pandemic. Silver lining, right? Now we know what that sounds like. That said, I'll tell you what was weird. It was weird to hear fighters say that they could hear the announcers during the fight, that they could hear Daniel Cormier calling the fight, and that they were actually hearing his strategy and his advice and employing it. That was wild. Greg Hardy called DC's commentary a game changer and admitted he adjusted in fight based on what he heard DC say during the fight, ringside. Pretty wild. But not nearly as wild as what happened in the three biggest fights of that night, starting with Francis Ngannou. He went into Saturday night having won three straight fights, and here's how long those three had lasted. 45 seconds, 26 seconds, 71 seconds, and then Saturday night was even shorter. Here is the entire fight from Saturday night.
Fight Clock brought to you by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Ngannou is in black, Rosenstrike is in gray. Early inside leg kick is there for Biggie Boy. Oh!
Oh!
It's over. Rosenstrike is out!
Whoa!
Ngannou!
Out bad!
Out cold.
Holy smokes!
So Francis Ngannou with his fourth consecutive vicious first round knockout.
Good night now. 20 seconds. Grand opening, grand closing. Thanks for coming. Nice knowing you. And the fact that he did so in front of an empty arena almost made it feel like he was sparring some dope off the street. You know, kind of like some guy off the street just stepped into the cage and said, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that for $1,000. Like Kimbo Slice blowing some dude up in a park somewhere. But that's not how that was. That was not some dope off the street. That was a guy who had been unbeaten in MMA. Somebody who had knocked out his last four opponents. One of the top contenders in the heavyweight division. And Ngannou did that to him. He was one of the top contenders in the division until his face ran directly into Ngannou's fist. And then Francis dropped him like a sack of flour. And that was not even the biggest moment of the night. Because then you had Henry Cejudo defending his title against Dominic Cruz. And he did. Battering Cruz with leg strikes. Vicious, vicious leg kicks in the first round before doing this in the second round.
That man's got some work to do on Cejudo. Oh, big knee from Cejudo!
Oh, he hurt Don.
Cruz got a world of trouble here!
Oh, he's
got a fight back. That is it! And still, Henry Cejudo!
And with that, Cejudo becomes the first fighter ever to stop Cruz in a fight. Look, I had no idea what to expect from Cruz in his first fight since 2016. We talked all about that last week. We talked about what an amazing story it would be if he could come back after all that time off and win that fight. And I got to say, he looked good. He did look good, especially in the second round. And you can argue whether or not the referee, Keith Peterson, should have stopped that fight when he did at 4:58 of the second round. I know that Cruz has tried to make the point repeatedly that he was getting to his feet. But what you can't argue is what happened next was even more shocking.
I actually kind of want to make an announcement, man. Uncle Dana, UFC, everybody, thank you so much, Hunter Campbell, all the UFC staff. Joe, I'm happy with my career. I've done enough in the sport. I want to walk away. I want to enjoy myself. I'm 33 years old. I have a girl now, Amanda, who's watching back home. I eventually want to start a family. Since I was 11 years old, I sacrificed my whole life to get where I'm at today. I'm not going to let nobody take that from me. So, everybody, thank you so much, man. I'm Triple C's out. You guys have to hear my ass no more.
Uncle Dana must have been like, yeah, that's funny, nephew. Good one, nephew. See you next week. I don't know. You go in and you make history and then you retire. And if that's what you do, and you go out on your own terms, that's a damn good night. He's one of only four fighters in history to hold two belts at the same time and the only fighter in history to be asked about his future and drop this legendary line. Cejudo said, quote, I want to give my time to procreation.
I want to give my time to my procreation.
I want to give my time to my procreation. Like some people say, they want to give their time to their charity. My man is saying, I want to give my time to my sex. Like Michael Jordan, he retired from his sport to take up another sport. Henry Cejudo is retiring from his sport to take up another sport. Sex. Didn't I say sex is undefeated? The undefeated, untied, unchallenged, most dominant player in the world. Sex.
I want to give my time to my procreation.
So do I, Hank. And yes, I'm aware that he's a gold medalist in wrestling, so save that tweet or that email. Way too obvious. I already understand that. I got to give this guy credit. Quote, I want to give my time to procreation.
I want to give my time to my procreation.
My procreation. That just blew right on by. I'm taking my talents to South Beach for an all-time great explanation of future plans. What are you up to this weekend? Well, I'm giving my time to my procreation.
I want to give my time to my procreation.
Awesome. And by the way, I'm not even sure I'm buying that. I didn't know those two things were mutually exclusive. Couldn't you beat guys' faces in and still give your time to your procreation? Are these two things really mutually exclusive? Is he retiring to give his time to his procreation, or is he retiring to give his time to his negotiation? See what I did there?
I want to give my time to my procreation.
I think what he meant to say, my negotiation. I feel like that's what that's more about. Either way, and I did tweet, as cringy as this guy can be, he admits he is, by the way, and he's right, he is. That was a great line, even if he meant he's going to give his time to his negotiation. But we'll see. Either way, he's right about one thing. That's a damn good fighter, Cejudo. A great, great fighter. One of the best pound for pound, which is why I think that he's not going to retire. But he might. After all, he doesn't want to give his time to his procreation.
I want to give my time to my procreation.
All right, so already you've had a great night. If the night ended right then and there, that was a great night. But there was still so much more. You had that one fight left, Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje, for the interim lightweight belt. That had been a fight that everybody had been hyping up for weeks. The one that everybody was going to guarantee would be pure violence. Like, nothing ever lives up to the hype. But that one sure as hell did. Personally, I'm not really sure. Like, Gaethje and Ferguson was a fight that will go down to me as one of the greatest fights I have ever seen. I mean, that was a performance for the ages for Justin Gaethje. The guy's an absolute stud. Tony Ferguson is a warrior. Ferguson is one of the toughest dudes I have ever seen. And my man's got a concrete jaw. How else do you explain Ferguson still standing after eating the shots that Gaethje was landing repeatedly? Like, Gaethje's got unbelievable power and accuracy in his strikes, and it got to the point where it was actually difficult to watch. But it was also pretty clear, Ferguson was not going to go down, nor was Ferguson going to give in. The ref was going to have to step in, and thankfully Herb Dean finally did, and stopped that fight. Because no one, not even Ferguson, not even with that concrete jaw, could endure that kind of punishment. Ferguson had won 12 straight. He had been a nightmare to prepare for, but Gaethje made it look easy. He dominated from beginning to end. It was an absolute clinic. Again, one of the best fights that I've seen in recent years and one of the best singular performances I've ever seen from a fighter. Gaethje, afterwards, he talked about where it all changed for him and he started to drop knowledge.
I had to lose to change. You can't fix what's not broken. You know, once I understood what was wrong, I was getting hit too much. And I was honestly having too much fun. Both times I lost, I became complacent because I was having so much fun. And at this level, you absolutely cannot do that.
What an amazing explanation that was. Like, I loved it so much. I love being a brawler so much. I love standing in and trading so much. But I had to learn. I had to be more tactical. I had to be more strategic. So too much fun meant back-to-back losses a few years back. Saturday night, the fun was different. It was smarter. It was more controlled. He was never reckless. He was never complacent. He wasn't just brawling to brawl. He was fighting. He was tactical. He was strategic. And he completely dominated a guy who had not lost in 8 years. That's how you earn the interim belt and a shot at Khabib. And by the way, one of my favorite moments of the entire night was him throwing away the interim belt. Him saying that he was going to wait for the real belt. Even though he lost, Ferguson, I came away with even more respect for him. And I had immense respect for him coming into the fight. Remember, that's not the fight that he trained for. That's not the fight that he had taken. That fight with Khabib, the fight that he worked his entire life for, got canceled 5 different times. He never got that big shot that he deserved. Yet he agreed to take this fight, an extremely dangerous fight, on short notice. And not even for the belt, but for an interim belt. I mean, for who? For what? He got his face broken. Literally, he got his face broken. So why'd he do it? For the paycheck? Sure. But even more so, because that's who Ferguson is, the ultimate warrior. I have no idea how this guy stayed on his feet, how he kept coming out for the start of every round. And then he was actually pissed when the fight was stopped. Except that was an unholy beating that he was receiving, and he just kept coming. Even Dana White said, not only was the stoppage accurate, it should have happened sooner.
I actually think the fight could have been stopped a little sooner, to be honest with you. Tony took a lot of damage tonight. Not only did he take a lot of damage, he took damage from a guy who and hits like a truck. A guy who punches very hard and usually knocks people unconscious when he hits him with those shots.
This dude does hit like a bleeping truck. And according to White, when I mentioned that he had his face broken, he did. The guy had a fractured orbital bone and did not stop. He kept coming. The fight was only stopped when Gaethje landed another huge left in the fifth, and Herb Dean had seen enough. Bottom line, all in all, UFC 249 delivered in a big way. It was a great card. It was great to have live sports back. However, Just because it was great does not mean that every sport should be racing right back in now. There were three positive tests before the fights. We don't know what else is going to be coming out of the fight. So as exciting as that card was, that doesn't mean that we should have baseball tomorrow, basketball on Wednesday, and NFL camps opening up on the weekend. But man, it was great, wasn't it? It was great to have live sports back, even without the fans. So now we wait. Now we wait, and now we see how everybody comes out of this. If there are any more positive tests, and how it all shakes down. But for one night, that was great. What are your thoughts? Did you watch it? What did you think about it? Where are you at? 1-800-636-8686. All right, I did not lead with a recap of episodes 7 and 8 of The Last Dance, but I've got that for you too. Thought it was really interesting again last night. So I've got thoughts on both of those episodes. Thoughts on Mike. Thoughts on Scotty. Thoughts on some of the other teammates. Thoughts on LeBradford Smith. He somehow, some way, got in Mike's crosshairs. Not a place where you want to be. All that's coming up. Also, one more thought about UFC 249. A look ahead to Justin and Habib. Now that we know that fight's pretty much going to go down, how about that fight? How about that matchup? Here's a blast from the past. Vijay Singh. If I'm talking about Vij, you know it's not good. A COVID-19 update coming off the weekend as well. All of that still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Kevin Ioli. Malachi Flynn. Howard Beck. All in the next hour and a half. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. At Couch Surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen, with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow, and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another Capital One, or another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what is in your wallet? Limitations do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Monday is an ATP day. You ask the pros. In this case, you ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Listen later on in the program. I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So, again, I'm looking for your reaction to UFC 249. Kevin Ioli will join me at 40 past. You know, I'm not here to change your mind. If you don't like it, that's fine. It's not for everybody. I've long said that. I happen to like it a lot and have for a long time. But I also understand that it's not for everybody. But one of the things I like so much about it, and I'm a guy who came up with boxing, and I still love boxing. The thing about MMA and UFC in particular is that everybody gets beat. Everybody loses. At some point, somehow, you're going to get beaten. That's one of the best things about that particular sport to me. The thing about UFC that I like is we get the best fights. The best fights get made. I can't say the same for boxing. And again, I'm not saying one's better than the other. They're two totally different sports, two totally different deals. But in MMA, with UFC, Dana White can effectively say, you fight you, you fight him, you two guys are going to fight. And it may not always happen, but ultimately you get the fights that you want. Except in the case of Ferguson and Habib. And they try to make that fight five different times. But everybody gets beaten. Ferguson had won 12 straight fights. Many thought that he couldn't lose. And then Gaethje comes in and has one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen. I mean, that was really compelling. My man is dangerous. They're all dangerous. This guy is inherently violent, and he's getting better. And now Dana White's got a brand new star. I mean, in recent fights, it had been kind of building. Gaethje was becoming arguably the most entertaining fighter in the sport. And then he goes in against Ferguson and has a performance like that. And all of a sudden now we're not so concerned about we don't get Ferguson Habib. Now we get something that might be even better. And I want to break down that potential matchup a little bit later on. So did you watch UFC 249 and what were your thoughts? and what did it look like to you without fans? And again, like I said, as hyped as I was on that night, and it was a great card, and it was so great to have live sports back, you can't rush right in now and say, all right, we're good. Let's play a little basketball this week. Let's get a little baseball going this week. The NFL is fine. Open up camps. That's not what that means. We need to see how it shakes down. But it was a great night. All right, let's go to the phones. Again, Kevin Ioli is coming up next segment. First up, let's go to Michigan. Really curious to see how my guy Dan did this weekend. Dan, what's up? How was your weekend? What's on your mind?
Oh, Romy, it was a good weekend, man. Greetings. I hope you and the family are doing well. Hey, I mean, crazy times we got here, man. Ngannou, now that's a bad, bad man. Today, I mean, who's he kidding? He can, you know, do the deed and still fight. Like you said, he's negotiating. I'm wondering how the forehead did with his bets, though, this weekend. Also, I mean, these are some crazy times we're living in. Sarah T getting a golden ticket with trash knock-knock jokes. Camp and Tom, if she ran to Real Stallion, she'd call up Earl and his brother Seth. Maybe Nina could show up with a brand-new pitchfork for Sarah T's barn. Brother, hope you and the family safe. Talk to you.
My man. Rack him. Sarah can show up with a pitchfork for their barn. He's right. These are crazy times. Sarah T's got a golden ticket for the smack off. He said, I wonder how the forehead did on his picks. Well, I'll say this. The forehead went with Gaethje. He called that shot. I know for a fact the forehead, James Kelly, the flight deck, was furious that the Cowboy did not get that win. You could argue that the Cowboy fought well enough to win. But that would have been a matter of the forehead picking two dogs and getting over on both. 1-800-636-8686. How did you do this weekend? Did you get down? Let's go to Vallejo. Mike in Vallejo. Good to have you, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, Rome. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I'm kind of sad that I didn't take the big head's advice on Gaethje. I had the money. I'm trying to save up for a car, and I was like, I could double up right here. I had the gut feeling that Gaethje was going to win, but I didn't think he was going to destroy him that bad. Ferguson has been on a roll. Nobody seemed to be able to keep, even get close to stopping him. So for Gaethje to come out that way, wow. I was kind of hesitant to order, though, because when Jacare Souza came up positive, I was like, oh, here we go. They're going to shut everything down. I was like, I'm going to wait till the last second. And when the prelims started, I'm like, all right, let's hit that pay-per-view button, because I was craving it. I think I called a few weeks back, and I was like, man, Uncle Dana's an opportunist, and he's trying to give the people what they want. And I've been craving some live sports, and thank you, Dana, for putting it on. Thank you for all the safety measures they took, because we needed it. And that was like my whole weekend was revolving around that whole event.
Appreciate that, Mike, so much. All right, so he answered my question. And thanks for doing that, Mike. I said, was it worth it? What did you make of that? How did that feel? And I agree with you. In fact, when that story broke on Friday night that there was a positive test, I'm like, oh, man. But if you know anything about Dana White, you had to know that his take was going to be, this show will go on. This show must go on. There was no way Dana White, with that one positive test, as it turns out, the one positive test were three positive tests. But still, there was no way. It was one fighter. And too close to the fighter. There was no way Dana was going to pull the plug on that. No way, after what he had been through. And he didn't. And it was an amazing card. But again, as I said, you can't look at it in a vacuum. We have to wait and see if there are any other positive tests that come out of that. If those are the only three, and that's the event that you have, then you move on to the next UFC event. And Dana's got them stacked up. But again, I would not say that that's a sign that all is well and we can still rush right back in. And all of a sudden you can have baseball and you can have basketball and football camps can open up. I wouldn't say that at all. We're not there yet. But in and of itself, for one night, to have live sports back and to have that card play out the way it did, it was awesome. And the forehead is pissed. He's still crying about it. He just texted me, quote, the forehead was screwed. What, now you're going to talk in the third person, forehead? He texted me, the forehead was screwed. I got one word for you, forehead. Wah! I have never heard this guy so upset about a pick that went the wrong way. Oh, look who's in. The good brother, Carl Anderson, at Machine Gun KA. Good brother Romy, still keeping the Machine Gun household entertained, talking some UFC. Look forward to getting back out to LA to sit in the jungle and rap with Van Smack about how I survived the Boneyard match. Well, I'll go ahead and admit, it was scripted. Cheers, Jim, out. Wait, what? It was? Oh, come on, good brother. No. Say it isn't so. That was scripted? AJ Styles isn't dead? Wait a minute. Good brother, are you telling me that AJ was not buried alive on TV? Dude, that glove coming out of the dirt was not real? That was fake? That was written into the script? What is this? A script club? Wow, bro. Wow. Are you for real? Good brother.
Script club.
My man. Brother. Too sweet. Too sweet, good brother. You know you're welcome here anytime you want. And we'll get you in here. When you are ready, when it's time, man, you come in here and lay it all out. I want to hear how you survived the Boneyard match because AJ didn't. He's dead. Hey, bro. You know how I already knew it was scripted? Do you know how I already knew? Because you guys lost. That's when I knew that it was written into a script. Because if it were real, you would have kicked ass. And that's what we would have been talking about. That's how I knew it was scripted, good brother. I knew it.
Brother.
Follow him at Machine Gun KA, the good brother, Carl Anderson. All right, when we come back, more on UFC 249. Kevin Ioli joins me to break it down. I've given you some of my thoughts. I've got more thoughts on it, too. I also want to break down Epps 7 and 8 of The Last Dance. This just in. Mike really wants to win. Mike is really competitive. And if you don't want to win as badly as Mike does, Mike's going to talk a lot of junk. And he's going to push you hard and punch you in the face. That's pretty clear after last night, if it wasn't already. All right, all of that's coming up. But first, I got a sports update for you. Here is the latest on this Monday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to be with you on a Monday. I'm in Southern California. I am still in our Southern California-based studios. Feels great. Welcome back. I've spent the first half of the first hour talking about UFC 249, and I want to continue to do so right now. We are joined by a friend of the program. He covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. He was the first sports writer to be honored as outstanding journalist by the Nevada Press Association. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, it's great to have you back. Kevin, before we get into some of the individual fights, what did you make of UFC 249 as an experience overall?
I thought it was an awesome show. I mean, I think the fighters really showed up and showed off their talents on Saturday. I mean, nearly from the beginning of the card, every single fight, with maybe one exception, was really a good event. And these guys really brought it. It was a fun show, and of course, it was capped by the final three fights were just spectacular when you consider the significance of them and the talent level of the fighters involved and the news that was created out of it. I thought all just really came out on a very, very high note.
Kevin Ioli is joining us. Kevin, I want to ask you about the three fights, but really quickly, what was your setup for the night like, both in terms of how you watched the fights and how you were interviewing fighters afterwards?
Yeah, I stayed at home. I had said, and I think I told you, I was going to go to Tachi Palace if it was in California when they were doing it, because I felt like it was a rogue event, right? So that, you know, they were against the state government, they were against the senator from California, and so I felt like I had to be there. But my age, I felt like, you know, when they were in Florida, it was no longer a rogue event. The governor welcomed them, the mayor of Jacksonville welcomed them. I felt like it was too risky for me to fly 5 hours in a plane and hang around down in Jacksonville. Jacksonville. So I watched it at home, and what the UFC did that was great, they had set a WebEx, Cisco WebEx system set up so you could talk to the fighters after all the fights, and it was terrific. So I sat in my home office. I watched the fights on ESPN pay-per-view and ESPN itself. And then when each fight was over, the fighters I needed to talk to, you just joined into the WebEx. And they had a neat little thing where you would hit a virtual hand and would raise your hand. They would call on you. You could talk to the fighters. And it was perfect. I mean, it was really a good situation. And I felt like it was as close to being there as you could possibly get.
I like it. Kevin Ioli is joining us. All right. So in terms of the three big fights, Francis Ngannou had another amazing knockout. You posed this question on Twitter. So how would you answer it? Quote, is he the scariest guy in combat sports right now?
I think it's a big yes, because he has the power, but he also has the aggression that, say, an Anthony Joshua lacks, right? I mean, you know, he has everything. And I really look at him and I say, is there anybody in this sport that would really want to fight him? You know, when he fought Stipe Miocic, you know, he wasn't really ready for the title in 2018. I think he's clearly ready now, and he's a physical beast. I don't know if you happen to catch that video of him and Shaq, you know, when Shaq was there, and he lifted Shaq up.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just, you know, what does Shaq weigh, 330 pounds? I mean, it was just incredible, and he just launched him into the air. And Francis can hit so freaking hard. I think he is the scariest in combat sports, and I don't see anybody stopping him. I think, you know, the only person that stops Francis at this point is Francis. You know, if whoever he fights, whether it be DC or Stipe, the winner of that fight, boy, I think we're going to be looking at a long road for either one of those two guys to get a win over Francis.
Kevin Ioli is joining us. All right, then you had Henry Cejudo against Dominic Cruz, which was a really intriguing matchup. You can make an argument that Cruz might have been the best ever in the class, but he had not fought since 2016. Cejudo, Kevin, was working on Cruz's leg in the first round. He seemed to be finding himself and have some success in the second round, but then he went for that uppercut that missed, and Cejudo brings him down with a knee and starts landing lefts. What was your reaction to the referee's stoppage?
My instant reaction as I saw it is that may be a little quick, because, you know, I thought Dominic kind of turned away and then was starting to get up, and I thought it could have been a little quick. But as I watched the replay, which, of course, the referee doesn't have the ability to do, you know, I mean, Henry landed some really good shots, and that knee was a really crunching knee right on the butt of the chin. And, you know, I always argue stop them one punch or, you know, one kick, whatever, too early rather than too late. And I felt like the referee did a good job. You know, Cruz's comments afterwards, I understand he's a competitor. It's been, you know, 3.5 years since he fought, and then, you know, he gets stopped where he feels like he's still capable of going on. But the referee has to make that split-second judgment. And when you saw that Cejudo was landing those left hands in there, and they were landing, you know, not every single one landed, but a lot of them did, and combined with that, you know, that really strong knee to the chin, I felt like it was a justified stop.
All right, so Cejudo, that was a fantastic performance. He is one of the best in the sport, pound for pound. Yet afterwards, stunningly, I guess, he announces his retirement. Are you buying it, or do you think that we're going to see a comeback from him, and even sooner than later?
I am buying the retirement. I mean, just, you know, I mean, he had never said to me, hey, I'm thinking about this, but just in talking to him, you know, you knew that he was kind of getting tired of the grind. And I think what happened was, after the shoulder surgery he had last year, I think that's when he really started thinking, hey, you know, do I really want to go through this anymore? Because, you know from talking to athletes over the years, Jim, how difficult it is for them to recover from these injuries, you know, and it's a mental challenge as well as a physical one. And, you know, he had a pretty major shoulder surgery after his win over Marlon Moraes. I think, you know, I do buy it. He wants to have a family, wants to go into real estate. I believe he's done. He made a ton of money. He did a great job, you know, followed up that gold medal and won two UFC championships. And he's the only fighter to defend them. I mean, he went out there and defended both of them. So, you know, you see these guys win them, but they can't defend both of them. He defended both of them.
Kevin Ioli is my guest. Great fighter. He's had a great career, if in fact that's it. Now, going into the fight, you had made the point, Kevin, that Tony Ferguson had put together a truly special career, and that a 12-fight winning streak is something that is so hard to accomplish in MMA. Knowing that, what's it say about Justin Gaethje that he just dominated, flat-out dominated the fight the way he did?
That was mind-blowing the way the fight went. I mean, you know, did I think Gaethje would land shots? Yes. Did I think he would hurt Ferguson? Yes. But there was a couple things. Number one, there was no jabs thrown in the fight. Every single strike was a power strike, and there was no takedown attempt. So it was all just big shots. and Gaethje landed 72% of his punches and kicks. I mean, it was just incredible what he did. And, you know, what I thought, and this isn't to take away from Gaethje, but I thought that it showed Tony Ferguson had overtrained. You know, he said that he had gone into training camp in November when the fight with Khabib was first made, and he basically stayed in the entire time. And I think, you know, he just had left his best fight in the gym, and Justin Gaethje fought a brilliant fight, did everything he had to do to win it, and I was so impressed with Justin. I can't even begin to tell you, Jim.
I agree. It was one of the most amazing things I've seen, Kevin, in the sport. Gaethje has always been aggressive to the point of being reckless in the past, but how much more dangerous, Kevin, is he now that he's that technical?
Yeah, I think, you know what?
Tactical,
you know,
I should say.
He is a huge problem at this point, because the fact is, before, he would run into shots that would get him in trouble. And he's not doing that now. You saw, like, I thought a really big turning point in his career came in that third round, where he landed a combination and Ferguson wobbled back to the cage. And I think 95% of all the UFC fighters would have been on him, because, you know, Ferguson was hurt. But he knows Ferguson has this great chin, and he wanted to be sure Ferguson wasn't playing possum. So instead of following him in and maybe having Ferguson fire an elbow, which he's been known for, coming up with a knee, you know, he kind of stayed back and just sort of surveyed the situation and kind of tried to get a, you know, what was going on. And he didn't make the mistake that he made when he fought Eddie Alvarez, or that he made when he fought Dustin Poirier. And that makes him a much better and much tougher opponent for anybody, because this is a guy that was an All-American wrestler who never uses wrestling. So you put him in there, and now if he fights Khabib, let's say, in the next fight, which is what it looks like is going to happen, you know, boy, oh boy, has that changed the complexion of things. You know, I still would say you have to favor Khabib in the fight, but my Lord, Justin's performance against Tony Ferguson just really mixes it up.
Kevin, it's so great. I can't wait for that fight, if in fact that is the next fight. And to your point, Gaethje is such a great wrestler. Never forget, he won a couple of state titles in high school. He was an All-American in college.
Right.
He never even wrestles. Like, he's had one takedown for his career. He never even wrestles. So what about the potential matchup with Khabib? Khabib is unbeaten. Khabib's only lost one round his entire career. He seems unbeatable. What happens if the two of them get into the cage together? Can Gaethje keep that in a stand-up situation? And what happens if they stand together and they strike?
You know, I mean, Khabib is a good striker, but I don't think he's at Gaethje's level as a striker, right? So I think that, you know, for Khabib to be able to be successful in the fight, he has got to, you know, offer the threat of the takedown, which obviously he has it there, but he's really got to use that and set up his takedowns well. The one takedown that the one strike, Jim, that he uses is where he fakes a takedown and he knocked Conor McGregor down with his, you know, he kind of leans forward and looks like he's going to go for the outside leg, and then he throws his windmill right hand over the top and he hits guys. And that, because everybody's so conditioned on him to, you know, defend against the shot, when they see him move that way, they think that he's going for the takedown, and he lands that right hand. So, you know, I feel like that's going to be a big thing. So if Justin Gaethje watches and he's aware of that in training camp, sees the film and prepares for that, you know, that's going to be something that, you know, he has shown he has the ability to make those adjustments. He made adjustments against Ferguson in the fight, and he clearly learned from watching film of Ferguson. I think that, you know, is going to give him a better chance. I still have to favor Khabib in the fight. I mean, remember, Khabib has just been so dominant over everybody, but I think we have a lot more competitive fight than we ever would have thought we would have had on our hands when you match those two up.
Kevin Ioli joins me for another moment or so. So, Kevin, what about this notion of a Ferguson-Conor McGregor fight on the horizon? Is that a possibility, or do you think, knowing the UFC the way you do, that they might go in a different direction? Because Ferguson's going to need some time to recover, and sometimes they do not like the idea of having a guy who lost facing a guy who won.
Yeah, they rarely match. You know, they'll do it in a main event if they have to, but they rarely match somebody who's coming off a loss with somebody who's coming off a win. So obviously, Conor, having knocked out Donald Cerrone, is coming off a victory. But I think that fight makes sense. Now, Tony, as I reported yesterday on Twitter and today in my follow-up story, Tony suffered a broken orbital, so that's going to, you know, make a question of how long is he going to be out. But I think that's the fight to make if you can make it. If Tony can get back in any period of time, I think that is the fight to make, because that would be a bonkers fight, Conor versus Tony. I mean, I think it would be similar to what we just saw Saturday night, and maybe even a better fight from this standpoint, Jim. You know, the one thing you mentioned, Justin Gaethje, he's a former state champion wrestler and an All-American wrestler. He had at least a threat of wrestling. I think when you fight Conor, you don't worry about the threat of wrestling. You worry about the striking. And so Tony will know going into that fight, that is a striker's fight. I think that would be a really, really good one. And then that sets another fight up, you know, for the winner of Khabib and Justin. I think it's a great division at this point. And Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker is also in that mix. And we have a lot of really good fights ahead of us at 155.
A ton of good fights ahead. He covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. I want to reiterate, the first sports writer to be honored as Outstanding Journalist by the Nevada Press Association. And he is a good friend of the program. Kevin, great job as always. Thank you so much. And always good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, Jim. Appreciate it. See you.
Have a great day. Kevin Ioli, breaking it all down. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so looking ahead to next hour, Malachi Flynn, NBA draft prospect and a point guard from San Diego State, will be joining me at 20 past. Then I chase that with Howard Beck. What that means is, if you want to call the program, do it right this second. We've got an open segment coming up next. Gaethje and Khabib. Who do you like in that fight? That should happen before the end of the year. Hopefully. Who would you take in that fight? Can Gaethje win that fight? Your thoughts and more when we come back.